Is there like favorite item to go there for?
It was popular with the school kids. Mm-hmm. You know, real popular after all the games at night, and so they'd get a big high school crowd there. The kids would come after plays and things like that too.
So a connection to that would be like Jim's Place today. So mm-hmm. Jim's right across mm-hmm. from there is what we do like after games and
yeah.
things like that.
Okay. Yeah. It was a get-together place for the kids, but I'm sure they had plenty of adults there too. But like I said, I don't know exactly when the dairy mm-hmm. bar part of it started.
The other part I can add to that, because my mother worked there, was in 1936 she worked there. And she remembers only that movie theater was there, but she never was in it, and there was a coal bin downstairs and the furnace downstairs. But it really was their living quarters for Louis and Amelia Riche and yeah. her family. And they had five children, and the children were still in school at that time, mm-hmm. except for, I guess, the oldest son was a teacher or something.
Kenneth.
But what they did is, at that time, teachers boarded with different places, different families in Slinger. Mm-hmm. And so Mrs. Riche would make the meals for all of these different people. Mom said there were six of them that would come for meals there, and then they would go and sleep and stay at these other places. But so that was one of the things that she would be doing.
That's interesting.
While Mr. Riche was working at the dairy and, mm-hmm. and doing those kinds of things.
So mm-hmm. she would provide for all those people.
She'd provide for those six teachers, and she said three meals a day. Now, I'm not sure if that was just weekends or if it was actually during the week, but she said there were six different places that teachers would board, and the Riches did have one boarding there along with the others.
So okay. Correct me if I'm wrong, but you had to be single if you were a teacher back then.
Yes.
Yes.
There were some, the women did.
The women, yeah.
The people who were married, they were on their own. They had their own little apartments okay. and stuff like that, but these were single mm-hmm. teachers.
And yeah. so to make a connection for them real quick, that was a school then?
Yes.
So, and the proximity of that was important because it was just mm-hmm. up the hill from where...
Yeah, maybe reached. About a block away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that would make sense.
Yeah. So they're doing a lot of business.
Yeah, yeah. popularity. Yeah.
So, the dairy bar was owned by Louis Riche and his wife Amelia.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And that was your dad's aunt and uncle?
Louis would be a brother to my dad's father, Ben.
So would that be the only place to go for suites around the school for the kids?
I think at that time, yeah.
Probably, yeah.
Unless...
That's the baker shop.
That's the baker. Yeah, yeah. I would think it'd be.
Which was just down the street, too.
But one just sounded like more was a night hangout or after school, and where
yeah.
maybe the baker was more of a morning or weekend.
Or weekend, yeah.
Yeah. yeah. I remember
ice cream bars at the dairy bar. Mm-hmm.
I did mention in here, I've got an article I can give you later, that they were showing, Riche was showing movies in 1938.
Oh, okay.
Louis and Emily.
Before the war.
Part of it was made into living quarters for the family. And yeah, they had five kids.
So yeah, you're getting a pretty big sense of the depth of influence of the Riche family here. If you start thinking about what we still have here today, and if you think about that era, they seem to have their hands in a lot of things. Things
they
that
do.
Probably made, help people fulfill their needs.
So, with this custard stand, it's called Van's Custard Stand.
Correct? Yeah, Van's Custard Stand or Van's Frozen Custard.
What were their other influences to influence him to build a custard stand or to run his own instead of working for?
He like I said, he was a very hardworking mm-hmm. man, very smart. He had a lot of ambition, a lot of dreams. Mm-hmm. And I think just the push, the history of working as a cook in the Army and before that for the Riches, and then after for that year or two. I think that just got him
Going.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So do you know what the best-selling items were on the list?
It was custard, not ice cream. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that was definitely the big thing. Cones, you could buy custard cones. You could do sundaes, hot fudge with pecan sundaes.
Did he make those cones also?
The cones he would buy, like waffle cone type.
You're making me hungry just sitting there.
Yeah, I know.
It was good.
It was good. Yeah, he made his own custard with two large machines. The mix used to come in big milk cans, and it was delivered regularly.
Okay.
And Jerome was our custard mix man. He used to come in all the time and deliver that. I don't know what company it was, but we'd always greet Jerome at the door. So it got delivered, and he'd pour the mix in these big machines. And I don't know the whole process. One was for chocolate, one was for vanilla. I think the chocolate mix came chocolate already. I don't remember him pouring chocolate in the machine, just the mix. But I do remember vanilla extract.
Having to have his little special touch of that. Yeah.
So I don't know the whole process, mm-hmm. but it, you know, churned around and cooled it. And
he really enjoyed doing that, making the custard?
Yeah, I think he enjoyed everything he did.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then he did burgers, too.
That, so, yeah, the custard would come out of the spout when it was cool, and he would pour it into big cardboard containers, and that would be used, you know, that would be put in a freezer then, and that's what they would scoop into the cones or the sundaes or chocolate malts they did.
So the meals could come with a burger, fries, and then a malt.
Yeah. He did burgers, he did cheeseburgers, no French fries, except with other dinners, but otherwise just pickles, fried onions, ketchup, mustard. In the early, maybe 63, 64, 65, somewhere in there, he started Friday night fish fries.
Okay.
And he used to buy those breaded. It was breaded fish, haddock, scallops, shrimp, and then he'd do the fried fish meal, deep fry that, and French fries with that, and coleslaw. And that was very popular. For sure, his burgers were the most popular.
So were Friday nights, was this like the place to be during those times on Friday nights for fish?
No, the custard stand, it was very busy evenings and weekends. It wasn't a big teenage hangout. It was more of a family type.
Oriented area.
Yeah.
Okay.
Teenagers and kids came in, but they were with their parents, so they were better
behaved. So it was more of a quiet setting in there?
Well, it would get pretty... pretty loud and busy and
young kids,
everybody having fun, but you know, it wasn't a strictly teenage hangout.
It was, its location wasn't such that that you could come from school to get there.
Right.
It was a little bit more in the, actually more in the country at that time.
Yeah, and maybe we should back up because when I grew up, Van's Custard was located out on 175 and 60, about a mile out of town, which now, of course, is the village of Slinger. But at that time, the village ended. Do you know where the nursing home is down here?
Yeah.
That was the last place. Nothing out this way except for a Biney farm, or is it Biney farm across?
Tennis farm.
Tennis and Biney.
It was Biney. It used to be a pond. Philip, not Philip, I forget who it was. A old, worn-down farm.
Yeah.
No subdivisions, no shopping centers. And then on this side, There was nothing but that cemetery. You see that old cemetery up the road? And three houses there, and then a building on each corner at the intersection. So there were no sidewalks or anything like that. So any kids that did come in would come with their
parents,
family, or bike. Okay. You know, some people rode bikes.
So were there any regular customers that would come in, or would it just be the families, especially on those Friday nights?
No, there would be regular ones, too. A lot of neighbors, friends, relatives. A lot of people would make it a point to stop in every day for a short time, whether it was for a burger or custard
or whatever.
So it
kind of gives you your, like, small community feeling with knowing everybody that comes in, noising high, and getting to know the story of each day of how they're
doing. Yeah, there were a lot of regular people that came every day, once a week, twice a week. A lot of school teachers would come in after school every day, and principal, that kind of thing, high school principal.
From your point of view, did you enjoy going to Vance Custard, like having meals there and having ice cream?
Yeah, I did. Now, growing up, us little kids weren't allowed to go just run out there anytime we felt like it. We kind of stood in the back room and peeked around the doorway and waited to get invited, you know. My dad was pretty strict the way he ran that. You know, he didn't want interruptions. He didn't want, you know. So, yeah, my oldest sister, Sue, who was born in 45, she had to work from waitress from the age of 12, between 12 and 13, till the end for the next 20 years. There were no child labor laws back then.